There really was an inventor and blacksmith called John Deere. It's not like Betty Crocker where it's this made-up person, but there really was a John Deere who in 1837 developed his first steel plow. So tell us about the transition and the early makings of John Deere. And he was into plow production in Illinois and also ended up moving to Moline along the Mississippi.
Yes, he was quite creative, and the problem back then was that plows were not self-scouring. The Midwestern soil would stick to the plowshare, and it was difficult to plow and do an effective job. He designed a self-scouring plow, and from there branched into other farm implements, and he was very creative and very successful.
And I think he listened to his customers. He heard what they wanted, and he tried to make something that would work for them.
That's correct. And that's been something that, as a company, I think it's fair to say, one of our mottos is listen to the customer and try and meet his needs. Well, I can't say that I'm an expert, but it was obvious that at that time there was a market to replace the horse, and to do it with a steel machine, a gasoline-powered machine. And there was a company in Waterloo, Iowa, that was into that business, and John Deere purchased that company in 1918, and they expanded into tractor production.
And this was purchased for quite a bit of money during 1918.
Yes, I don't recall, but it was a huge sum of money at the time, yes.
What happened after that? What was this tractor, and what was it called, and where was it at?
The tractor that was famous back then was the Waterloo Boy. It was, like I say, a replacement for the horse, and it was also had a shiv that would drive a belt for stationary power on farmsteads, and was quite a step forward.
And this Waterloo Boy was found in none other than Waterloo, Iowa.
That's correct, and obviously tractor production and tractor innovation have continued in the Waterloo-Cedar Falls area for the past 100 years.
Which is really quite amazing. Well, one of the mantras of the original inventor and owner, John Deere, was that he never willfully wronged anyone and never put on the market a poorly made article.
Yes, I was told that he would say that he would stand behind all of his equipment except a manure spreader.
He must have had a sense of humor as well. So tell us a little bit about the Waterloo Boy and the original start with John Deere.
Yes, the tractors started out gasoline-powered, and the Waterloo Boy was unique, and John Deere stuck with the design of a unique two-cylinder engine, and so the rather unique putt-putt-putt was known around the world, and whenever you heard that, you knew there was a John Deere tractor at work.
And then in the 1920s, they started setting industry standards. Tell us about how they improved on the Waterloo Boy.
It was obvious that farmers continually needed to produce more with less, and so there was opportunity to increase the things that a tractor would do. And it evolved in the process from a tractor that simply pulled an implement to a tractor that would pull an implement and power an implement. And then obviously more operator comfort and convenience features that came along. And yes, John Deere was an innovator and a leader in the market.
Now, one of the tractors that they have here at the Historical Museum is a 1925 Model D John Deere tractor. So tell us about this tractor and what was so special about it.
Well, John Deere kept pushing the envelope of the amount of power that could be transferred to the soil, and so the implements could grow and a farmer could do more work. He was always in a race against Mother Nature. And the Model D was, again, still the two-cylinder tractor, but it was larger and more productive and more adaptable.
And it basically replaced, then, the Waterloo Boy.
Yes, essentially, that's correct.
The State Historical Museum also has on display a 1946 Model B John Deere tractor. So tell us about this design and this tractor.
John Deere was still with the two-cylinder engine, and so we still had the unique putt-putt-putt that everyone recognized. But again, it was a machine with higher work capacity and more adaptability, and allowed a farmer to farm more land, produce more crops, and to maintain or maybe even improve his standard of living.
Now, I noticed on the Waterloo Boy, the tires were totally metal, but as the tractor started evolving, then they had rubber tires or different kinds of wheels.
Yes, obviously the rubber technology was a fantastic step forward. For one thing, rubber tires were much more friendly if you had to do any transport, but also the tire can deflect and can produce a greater footprint and transfer more power to the soil than the old steel wheels.
Also at the State Historical Museum in Des Moines, they have a 1949 Model A tractor, which John Deere manufactured for some 20 years. Tell us about this tractor.
This was still the John Deere two-cylinder tractor that John Deere was so famous for. Again, just innovations like power steering and other operator comfort and convenience. The seat suspensions, other enhancements were incorporated into this tractor, and it allowed the farmer to do more work with less fatigue and, again, maintain or improve his standard of living.
And in that more power, they also had more speeds on the transmission, so they could do things in different levels of speed.
Yes, obviously to make the tractor more adaptable. When you look at the range of things that a tractor can do, some of them require extremely slow speeds and others require higher speeds. And depending on where you are in the world, some places tractors do tremendous amounts of transport. Other places in the world, they do extremely slow operations like digging irrigation ditches. So there's a tremendous demand for different speeds.
So if you had to sum up or look over all these early tractors in John Deere's lineup, tell us, what would you want people to know about them?
I would like to say that the challenge as a tractor designer over all of these 100 years is, how do we help the customer produce more and stay ahead of Mother Nature? So the evolution has always been to make the tractor more productive, more adaptable, to do more things, and to do it in such a way that the customers were comfortable and they could work longer hours. And so over all these years, there's been a steady stream of innovations which have all been in that direction.